This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information brought to you by Cornell University's Turfgrass Program in partnership with the New York State Turfgrass Association. I'm Frank Rossi, the Associate Professor of Turfgrass Science in the Department of Horticulture here at Cornell University. And the following are observations and recommendations and remembrances for September 3rd, 2012. Well, it's always hard to start any newsletter looking for that key environmental or management tip to get you thinking about the week ahead. Of course, the season starts to make a shift around Labor Day with recovery and renovation on many managers' minds. Our sports turf managers in the throes of fall sports season with football, soccer, and field hockey trafficking the fields. My tip here is to maintain an aggressive in-season overseeding program. 2 to 4 pounds of perennial ryegrass per 1,000 square feet applied to high traffic areas down the center of field or in goal mouths. Lawn care folks are staring at drought and pest damaged lawns from a stressful growing season, and we have lots to think about regarding weed control and renovation. And finally, the golf turf manager still working to produce high quality playing conditions, but many looking at timing fall aerification programs combined with heavy top dressing to dilute organic matter and keep native push-up green sandy. If you have a sand-based green, it's simply solid tine and bury it in sand. But keep in mind, it's dry out there and turf can desiccate quickly if not properly irrigated around these stressful practices. In the end, I can't leave this opening without mentioning the passing of Stan Zontek, longtime USGA agronomist and golf turf specialist extraordinaire. I took some space in this week's issue to pay tribute to Stan, and it might be good to send some warm thoughts to Stan's friends at the USGA in Penn State. Stan was one of a kind. Well, it was another above-normal week with temps 3 above to the south and as much as 6 above to the north. Widespread high heat stress with between 125 and 175 growing degree days accumulated for the week. The 3,000 growing degree day line is at Philly and New York City and the 2,500 line at the Hudson Valley. Still, 7 to 10 days ahead of last year and again on pace to be in the top 5% warmest years on record and about 1 month ahead of the 15-year average. Soils are in the 70s from the north to the south. Good week for rainfall, with most areas receiving between a half and 1 inch. Less rain fell along the Great Lakes in western New York, as well as an odd dry swath through central Long Island. Must be because of the Barclays at Bethpage willed the rain away. ET was unusually high for this time of year, maintaining water loss amounts in excess of 1 inch to as much as 1.25 inches. Widespread dollar spot and brown patch risk at medium to high level around the region. Expect dollar spot conditions everywhere to be high, and brown patch starts high and then remains high along the I-95 corridor. Still too warm for many broadleaf weed control products as daytime temps will get into the 80s. Following some lovely low humidity days, expect a significant warm-up as the front starts to move through by Tuesday, Wednesday, with temps in the low 80s and 90s for highs and mid-60s to 70s for lows. Expect about 1 inch of rain by midweek and very humid conditions out front of the storm. Long-term, nothing fancy with normal temps in the 70s, 80s, and average precip, and you can check out all our information at the forecast website. The Adirondack Report from Emily Selleck and Lynn Wilson. Most lawn areas look pretty good, and most homeowners in the Keene Valley are stressing about late blight. Minor grumblings about grubs, but no widespread damage reported as of yet. It's been very dry recently, with the last few months seeing only 50% of normal precip, even had some frost on local golf courses. The Western New York Report from Walt Nelson. Sports practice fields are showing wear with increased traffic and insufficient water for recovery. Unirrigated lawns are showing early signs of dormancy. Remnants of Isaac will be welcome next week and chinch bug damage evident in many areas. The Westchester Report from Jerry Giordano. Green grass, weeds, and dead transplanted trees were popular topics this week in the office. Samples of common chinch bug and pennywort, as well as the switchgrass that has invaded a lawn. The Eastern Long Island Report from Tom Kowalsik. Rainfall over the east end of Long Island varied from less than 1/4 inch to just under 1 inch, depending on your location. It's gotten dry again in some areas. Irrigation can be seen again on some fields of sod. The CCE Suffolk Diagnostic Lab is even calls on grub control, but as in years past, much of this concerns people thinking they need to apply grub control, but actually do not have a grub problem in the lawn. Turf samples that are suffering stress also are infected with curvularia, which enhances the stress symptoms. A sample with soil layering problems, compost applied to the surface for seeding, was also infected with Ascochyta. The soil on this lawn was staying very wet, was slimy and odorous due to the compost applied to the surface. The regional update from Randy Prostek at the University of Massachusetts this week focuses on weed control and renovation. To take advantage of the ideal growing weather in the fall, you may have to develop a weed control strategy for existing vegetation before you plant seed or sod. It's still slightly warm for most three-way herbicide combinations and well beyond when crabgrass control makes sense, as many have already begun to flower. But soon as weather cools and daytime highs stay in the high 70s, then make a broadleaf herbicide application recognizes you will need to wait 2 to 3 weeks until you're able to seed into the soil. If you do not have a large broadleaf weed problem, then seeding into bare areas now, ensuring good seed-soil contact and getting early turf density is your best option. Then waiting until early to mid-October to see the winter annual pressure and then making an application at that time for existing broadleaf weeds and new invaders from the winter annual pool. So, in the end, if you have some bare ground without weeds, seed it now, then wait till mid-October and make your application. If you're overrun by weeds, then apply this week if cooler weather. If weather cools, then wait 3 weeks to seed into bare ground. My Gazing in the Grass update begins with a note on dollar spot or odd ant damage. We're heading into one of the worst times of year of dollar spot in the Northeast. We recently observed some odd damage that in fact looked like dollar spot but had an odd pattern. Researching this, I came across an article by Professor Chris Williamson of the UW-Madison. About the same time that dollar spot is most active, the nuptial mating flight of reproductive cornfield ant occurs. This activity results in ant versus ant chemical warfare that can injure turf in patterns resembling dollar spot. The cornfield ant, Lasius neoniger, is a native throughout the United States and Canada. Often larger numbers of winged reproductives or swarmers emerge from the turf in late afternoons. Such flights are commonly associated with rains or storm. As the reproductive ants emerge, wingless worker ants are even more abundant, often outnumbering reproductives by as much as 100 to 1. As reproductives attempt to emerge from the turf, worker ants from nearby colonies may attack in swarms and kill them, signaling each other with an alarm pheromone. Ants produce several types of pheromones for communication, including sex attractant alarms and trail markers. Such pheromones are secretions from the exocrine system of various glands. An alarm pheromone may summon 10 to 100 worker ants to attack, sting, and kill a foreign ant. During this process, formic acid or venom is released from the gland on the ant's abdomen. Formic acid is used for both predation and defense, and it has nerve toxins. Cell disruptors are a combination of both to cripple ants' enemies. When exposed to formic acid, turfgrass leaves exhibit foliar burn that may be misdiagnosed as dollar spot. Controlling ants, especially mound or nest-building ants, can be difficult because fact-acting conventional insecticides usually kill only a small portion of workers foraging on the surface and fail to eliminate the queen. For this reason, ant baits are the most effective control strategy for preventing damage from mound or nest-building species ants. Baits are typically laced or spiked with delayed-action insecticides formulated on granules with attractive food substances. Subsequently, worker ants carry the bait back to the nest where it is fed to the queen. Once the queen is exterminated, the colony is destroyed and the mounds are not reconstructed. As reported previously, the behavior, morphology, and physiology of Lasius ant species change substantially in the autumn months. Because workers are no longer attempting to construct mounds or nests and reproductives are emerging, conventional fast-acting surface-applied insecticides may provide more effective control of ants during this period. Stan Zontek. The golf turf industry lost an absolute giant literally and figuratively this week with the sudden passing of USGA Green Section Mid-Atlantic Director Stan Zontek. If you've been in the business over the last 40 years, I've been in it a little over 30, then you have met, heard of, or read about Stan. If you're a new or a young person, I can tell you there won't be another guy like him anytime soon. In fact, I quoted Stan's most recent Green Section article about wedding agents in these very pages just a few weeks ago. Stan passed suddenly at the age of 63, leaving a legacy that literally spans the globe. I personally met Stan when I was on the faculty at Wisconsin well after he had left there as a regional agronomist, and I can tell you for me as a young PhD jumpstarting a program, Stan was a legend. As my career evolved, we'd cross paths at meetings. He invited me a few times to speak at his regional meetings in the Mid-Atlantic, making sure I had a real crab cake. Stanley was the consummate professional. I have a very vivid memory of the last time I saw him when he gave me some sage advice. I can't say we always saw eye to eye on golf turf management, especially when it came to all things Penn State, but we did share a passion for finding solutions for golf course superintendents. This industry will be hard-pressed to ever find someone as consistently devoted to the golf course superintendent and turf management profession as Stan. And you can read more about Stan, his work, and his legacy at the USGA.org website, where he is the headliner there, as he should be. Stan Zontek, dead at age 63. Fall dollar spot management. There's growing evidence from university trials around the country that fall fungicide applications are the most effective way to avoid dollar spot damage the following spring. but when exactly is the best time to spray? And which products are going to be the most effective? The best time to make your preventative fall application is when cool season turf growth is slowed down, but before the weather is so cold that lack of turf growth and snow will interfere with your applications. It's very important to keep in mind that Dollar Spot is very prone to develop resistance to DMI fungicides such as Rubigan, Eagle, Baleton, Banner, and 3336. There is a lower risk of resistance to dicarboxamide fungicides such as Iprodione and 26GT, but it is a possibility as well. For this reason, it's critical that use of these fungicides be rotated with fungicides in other chemical groups, that is, different frac codes. You can review the use of frac codes in our Cornell Pest Management Guidelines found on the web at ipmguidelines.org/turfgrass. Thank you for joining me for the weekly installment of the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information, brought to you by Cornell University in partnership with the New York State Turfgrass Association. I'm Frank Rossi here at Cornell University and hope you have a great week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.